Hi, it's great to have your company. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. My name's Simon Smart.
And I'm Natasha Moore.
Well, this week we're going to the movies. We're talking about two different films that in their own ways explore the question of what it is to be human. Good stories tend to ask these sorts of questions. The two films were recently released. One is Transcendence, the other Healing. And when you look at them initially, you'd think they have very little in common at face value. Transcendence is a Hollywood sci-fi blockbuster starring Johnny Depp, and it explores what happens when humans find a way to copy someone's consciousness onto a computer. The second film, Healing, is an Australian film. It follows the rehabilitation program at a minimum security prison in Victoria, where long-term prisoners are given responsibility for working with injured birds of prey. They're trying to help the rehabilitation both of the men and the birds. Now, Natasha, you've seen both Transcendence and Healing. Let's talk about Transcendence, first of all. This is a futuristic story where Johnny Depp is going to die, so they upload his brain to a computer or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's right. So Johnny Depp is a scientist working on artificial intelligence, and he's shot by some terrorists who are against technology and the kind of technological developments that he's working on. So his wife, concerned that he's going to die, decides to put into practice the technology that they've been working on and to upload his consciousness to a computer. So it's a little unclear throughout the film whether we can really count that as him, whether Will Caster, Johnny Depp's character, has really been, whether there's continuity between his consciousness and what is going on in this computer.
So he gets uploaded into the computer, then he dies, but somehow or other he remains in some form of life in this computer space. And then I think he sort of transcends that, doesn't he? He becomes sort of almost omnipresent.
You know, the whole thing is about him kind of overcoming the limits of biology, that this is what he's been working towards his whole life. And what happens is, I think something that quite predictably happens in these futuristic technology movies is that we discover that there are more or less no limits to what he can do. So he ends up being able to heal people, more or less prevent death, maybe regenerate forests. You know, once his consciousness is connected to the internet, there are almost no bounds to what he can do.
There seems to be lots of these films now about technology and its possibilities. So they're delving into important questions about where technology might take us eventually.
Please welcome my partner in science and in life, Dr. Will Caster.
The path to building superintelligence requires us to unlock the most fundamental secrets of the universe. Imagine a machine with a full range of human emotion. Its analytical power will be greater than the collective intelligence of every person in the history of the world. Some scientists refer to this as the singularity.
Professor?
I call it transcendence.
A series of attacks conducted by a radical anti-tech group known as Rift.
They hit AI labs all over the country.
We lost decades of research and development.
It's radiation poisoning. The bullet must have been laced with it. The effect is irreversible.
Will's body is dying, but his mind is a pattern of electrical signals. We can upload his consciousness. We can save him.
Not like this. Assuming that this works, if we missed anything, a thought, a childhood memory, how will you know who you're dealing with?
One of the strengths of this film is that it's not just about, you know, what happens when technology goes nuts. That a really important strand to the film is the marriage between Johnny Depp and his wife, and the fact that she doesn't just upload his consciousness because, you know, she wants his work to continue and because he has such a brilliant mind. She doesn't want to lose him. And so you have this whole element playing out of, you know, what does it mean for them to still have a marriage, for them to still have a relationship when he's basically a computer? So it becomes, you know, quite problematic that he can't touch her. You know, she can eat a meal, but he can't. She goes to sleep, he doesn't. So I think almost these explorations of technology and what happens when it goes up and up and up are also a way for us to think about our humanness and a vehicle for us to consider, you know, what does it really mean?
I can't feel anything.
I'm here.
You need to get me online. I need more power.
It may be intelligent, it may even be sentient. This is no will.
Shut it down.
Shut it down? It's him!
Your friends crossed the line. They don't know the danger.
This is astounding.
So how do we fight it?
You can't. An AI is like any intelligence. It has needs.
The real will die.
It'll start to evolve.
Where's the machine?
To influence. Perhaps the entire world.
Where are you going?
Everywhere.
It seems there's a sense of putting our faith in technology that it can take us to these wonderful imagined futures where human problems will be overcome. That's part of what's going on, isn't it?
You know, I feel as though when we imagine the future and the directions that technology might take, that we almost have this failure of imagination, that even though all of our experience so far suggests that when technology advances, there's still real limits and real problems to that. In the future, if we project kind of the advance of technology, we imagine it being able to do absolutely anything. And I think, you know, towards the end of this film, you really get this sense that what Johnny Depp's character and his wife are hoping is that technology will just be a shortcut to solve all our problems. And in that sense, really an abdication of our responsibility as humans, that instead of working in slow and difficult and painstaking ways to do things like cure cancer or use our resources better, maybe technology can just fix it.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Center for Public Christianity. We're talking movies. Now, Natasha, I want to talk about this film, Healing. This is a very different film from Transcendence. It's Australian. It's about prisoners and wounded birds. How was it?
It was fabulous, actually. I really enjoyed it. It's beautifully shot. The cinematography is lovely. You have lots of kind of birds in flight over beautiful Australian landscapes. So it's really recognisably Australian without being self-consciously so.
Yeah, he may have been a hard man once. He's just an old man now.
File says he hasn't had a visitor for 18 years.
So who's his lucky caseworker then?
Oh, piss off.
We're a working farm here, gentlemen.
The aviary's care of the birds. That'll be your responsibility.
Her name's Yasmin. She comes back to you.
You know, all this is going to count towards your parole. Have any idea where you could go to?
Don't have no one.
He's got a 23-year-old son, for a start.
You don't want to know me.
How'd she even look at me? Want to know why you'd do that to Mum and me?
Yeah, that's your answer for everything.
Why you make me do this?
I'm sorry it didn't work out. And you're gonna really need to work out what you want to get out of this place.
He's my son. Hey, you want to know a secret?
Victor's all smoke, no fire.
Hey.
She's never done that before.
So the main character is a guy called Victor, who is originally from Iran, and he's been in prison for 18 years for murder, and he's just been brought to this kind of pre-release facility, which is a working farm, and he's given responsibility for this new program, which is caring for injured birds of prey, injured raptors. And he kind of has this particular relationship with this one wedge-tailed eagle, Yasmin. So you have the birds and kind of the process of their recovery and whether they can be released into the wild. Then you have the prisoners who are all kind of being rehabilitated and trying to figure out whether they're going to be able to go out into the world and lead productive lives again.
So there's an obvious parallel there between these injured birds and the men in prison who are also seeking some degree of freedom. This could be done quite clunkily. Is it well done?
It's actually brilliantly done. So the movie is heavy with parallels and with metaphors, and you feel like it should be really obvious and overdone, but it never is. So Hugo Weaving in the film plays the prison officer who's caring for Victor and trying to get him to come out of his shell. And he's recently lost his daughter to cancer. So you have these kind of real parallels of kind of broken birds, broken men in prison, but the prison officer as well is a broken person, and everyone's kind of participating in each other's healing.
He's got a real gift for the birds. It's hard to find.
I want you to know this man.
Natasha, I read something that the director wrote about the film. He said, it is not about injustice or about right and wrong. It's about the deep human need to love and be loved. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this pre-release facility where the movie's set, it's not about judgment. These guys have served their sentences, and it's really about rehabilitation and trying to prepare them for the outside world.
If we think about these two films together, Transcendence and Healing, one seems to be about the biological limits of being human and the other about natural brokenness. There's a way of comparing them.
Yeah, I mean, even the titles, you know, these kind of big one-word abstract concepts, and they're very different concepts. So transcendence, even the idea, seems to assume that, you know, being in a body is kind of a problem in itself, and maybe we can get beyond that, maybe we can escape from the world and from the mess of the world. Whereas healing, I think, is a much more humble idea that acknowledges that actually we've all got problems, we're all wounded, we're all broken and messed up, and that maybe what we need is something a bit less dramatic and glorious than transcendence. Maybe we actually just need to be healed.
Seems that both of these films are recognising in different ways the human problem. So transcendence is sort of recognising the limitations of what it is to be embodied and trying to sort of supersede that. Healing also recognises our universal need for redemption. And from a faith perspective, that introduces a kind of question about what do we do, how do we respond to facing up to the reality of what it is to be human.
Yeah, I think they're two very different responses to a similar problem. And I think from a faith perspective, it's interesting to parallel those two different approaches to the problem of the human condition, to Buddhism on the one hand and to Christianity on the other. So transcendence, on the one hand, is kind of about escape from the world. Can we rise above the mess and the suffering?
Right. So you're sort of drawing a parallel there between the Buddhist idea of disengagement with the problem, that is, the human suffering.
Yeah, that's right.
Whereas on the other hand, healing.
Yeah, Christianity, I mean, at the heart of the Christian faith is this idea of incarnation, that instead of God either leaving us in our mess or trying to raise us above it, and kind of write it off, then instead what God does is he becomes human himself and comes alongside us in that mess and really brings us hope and healing and redemption where we're at.
So all sorts of redemptive possibilities, it sounds like, in that film. So those two films, again, Transcendence and Healing, both of them are out at the moment in selected cinemas. Great to talk to you about it, Natasha.
Thanks, Simon.
And we'll see you next time on Life and Faith.